I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. If you're a blogger right now, you're probably in your happy place. What to talk about next? The presidential race, legends of black music, or the latest cultural controversies? We've got plenty on all these fronts in our bloggers roundtable. With us, pop culture critic Desmond Burton of the blog Afro Nerd, Baratunde Thurston. He's a blogger for sites including The Huffington Post, and Carmen Dixon. She writes the blog All About Race and also blogs for AOL Black Voices. Hey, folks.
Good morning.
Hello. Hey, Farai.
So, as we've been saying, Obama has pretty much locked up the nomination, and this is a historic election. So, Baratunde, let me start with you. You know, what did you know and when did you know it? Meaning, how closely did you watch things unfold and watch the speeches, and how did you feel?
I feel great. I feel like Yes We Can became Yes We Did in at least phase one of this operation to get someone of Obama's caliber and background into the White House. I followed everything. I watched all the speeches. I was thrilled to see McCain's speech cut off by the networks. And I think that was a metaphor that McCain's time is up and Obama and our time is now for the entire season that we're entering in.
Carmen, what about you? How did, on an emotional level?
Well, I have mixed emotions. I'm thrilled about his success, but the post that I'm writing right now is called Happy, Excited, Dread. Dread meaning that we have a lot of work to do to get him elected. He is my candidate. I am supporting Barack Obama, but I know the kind of work it's going to take on the ground and having one-on-one conversations and moving people's opinions to even consider voting for him, because I know a lot of people are not even considering it right now.
Desmond, what are you hearing? Tell us your thoughts on this historic moment, but also what are you hearing about whether it's, challenges in the upcoming general election, dislike of, any candidates from different voters? Kind of what's your ear to the ground?
Well, I guess it's the inevitability of the entire factor. One major thing I think is Hillary Clinton's reaction to the whole thing, her disingenuous demeanor. It's a reality. It seems like she just didn't want to be gracious about it. And you were able to see just how presidential Obama came across in his delivery. And he was so deferential to her, and yet she could not reciprocate that. So I think what's really being talked about is, will he choose her as a VP? Should he choose her as a VP? Maybe she's going to wedge herself into that. My own personal preference would probably be Bloomberg. As a bulletproof vest of sorts. That's like an inside joke to some of my Jewish colleagues. But I think that there's a lot of work to be done as Shay has... she sounds like Shay. The young lady's...
Carmen.
Carmen just referenced that there's a lot of work to go forward. And I think there's going to be some problems. And hopefully, Bobby Kennedy also. That scared me a little bit.
Well, and I think that, speaking of presidential, what amazed me is that this morning, President Bush congratulated Senator Obama on clinching the nomination, yet candidate Clinton couldn't do the same. And it's right. A dark day when a Bush has got a better grip on reality than a Clinton.
Yeah. Well, Carmen, I saw you making a face when it came up whether or not there will be an Obama-Clinton ticket. There have been a lot of discussion about whether or not it would be a pro or a con, and former President Jimmy Carter says no, bad idea. What do you think?
Well, I think at the heart of it, it's simple. She can't be on the ticket because Obama is about change. And if he's true, and if he's going to stay true to his message, to his brand, bringing in on Hillary Clinton is not about change. It's about more of the same. That's what he campaigned on this entire season. So to make a U-turn on that, it would certainly alienate me.
Well, Baratunde, though, what about the idea that it is change, but too much change, in a country that has historically been governed by white men since day one at the executive branch level, to have both a black man and a white woman on the same ticket, would that kind of, kill any chances for most of the white male vote?
I think that's really a secondary issue. And in many cases, both Obama and Clinton have transcended their demographics. They are super strong and powerful brands. And there are reasons well beyond her being a white female that Clinton represents a pretty bad choice for him. The behavior of her and her campaign throughout this season has crossed several lines of, you know, difficult to impossible to forgive. The baggage that she and Bill Clinton bring back to the White House that hasn't fully been vetted, whether it's his overseas business connections or exactly what his role is going to be, it creates a really powerful get-out-the-vote machine for the Republicans, who already are warming up to taking on Obama and have been waiting in the wings for another shot at Clinton. So for those reasons alone, outside of the minor policy differences and the strong personality differences, I think they're much stronger than the demographic concerns that you just raised.
Desmond, what about ideas and issues? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about things like change or firsts and you know, first black, first woman, et cetera. But when it comes down to it, you've got a country that's dealing with $4+ a gallon for gas, the, you know, billions of dollars in debt that we've accumulated, the war, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is time for heavy lifting. What would you like to hear from the candidates at this point?
Well, I'd like to hear some substance, some really, from what I've, from my understanding, Obama is somewhat of a policy wonk, but we've never been able to really vet that out because we've been focused so much on race and sex, or sexism, if anything. At least that's what Hillary would let us to believe, like us to believe that it's about sexism. Honestly, I think that if these two can get beyond some of the being pitted against each other as far as their respective demographics, maybe we could see some of these issues come forward. But right now, as you just stated, this is going to be an ultimate litmus test to see if it's going to be about dealing with the economic issues domestically as opposed to dealing with the color of his skin.
And I think he laid down the gauntlet last night in a pretty positive way when he said, neither this campaign nor this party will use religion as a wedge. We'll try to beat our opponents over the head over patriotism. We're Americans before. We're Republicans and Democrats, and sort of inviting McCain and welcoming a true policy debate. He said it's something that the people deserve, and I happen to believe it's something that the people deserve, and I think he believes it too. So I look forward to getting into the meat of those policy differences.
I look forward to that, but I have to tell you, I think it's aspirational. I think this campaign, right through November, is going to be plagued with a lot of identity politics, whether it's done by 527s, whether it's done by spokespeople or allies of the candidates. I think you're going to still see some things that you're going to see some dirty pull.
Well, how about this? What about the other side of it, which is, you know, someone was saying to me the other day that they thought that Senator Obama could not campaign on the issues because he was the magical African-American friend. And that's a phrase that a writer, Christopher John Farley of Time, wrote once. But it's like this whole idea of, like, you know, in the buddy movie where you've got the black buddy and it's like, he's my black friend, but he's such a nice guy. He's not like all those other black people. And it, you know, to a certain extent, if Senator Obama rolls up his sleeves and starts, you know, taking some hard shots, will he ruin, Carmen, this idea of the magical African-American friend?
Well, I wrote about that very early in his campaign, so I agree with you 100%. But the tricky thing is now walking that line between explaining his policies and keeping people comfortable that he's not too strong, which is a very hard line for an African-American man to walk.
Let me turn to another issue, a cultural issue. One of the things that's come up as this campaign unfolds is the question of where are we? Where are we as a nation on the issue of race? Do we have, you know, more cross-racial friendships but not racial justice in systems like, you know, the justice system? Now there's a controversy. It is about a symbol, but symbols can be powerful. There's a giant Confederate flag that might go above the tree line near Tampa. There's a group called the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and they want to put a 30-foot-high, 50-foot-long flag atop a 139-foot pole. It would be the world's largest Confederate flag. The local NAACP is not happy about it, and some local business owners as well are not feeling great about it. Now, Baratunde, at this point in time, you've got an African-American man who has all but clinched the presidential nomination of a major party for the first time. And then you also have this symbol, which means different things to different people, looking like it's going to go up at any moment. What does that say about the differing strains of culture in America today?
Well, I think it says that there's never a simple story that explains this country. And to use Carmen's phrase, aspirational, America likes to promote that aspirational brand. But the reality is a lot more nuanced and often a lot dirtier, darker, and uglier than that. I think in the case of the Confederate flag, I don't have too much to say about it. You have, you know, we're here at the very beginning of the 21st century, and you've got a group of people who want to take us back to the 19th. And they might as well raise a flag for child labor or bloodletting via leeches or eugenics diagram. That particular symbol is just so removed that it's not part of the legitimate, I think, level of conversation, but it does represent, you know, some aspects of society that we'd rather not focus on.
Hey, look, I've driven across the country twice. And let me tell you, you know, when you're driving through the South, the Deep South, and you see nothing but Confederate bumper stickers, it's not just a symbol. It breathes, you know. So Desmond, I mean, it is a symbol, but at the same time, we live and die by symbolism. And
it is a message.
It is a message, Carmen. So, you know, do you think at this point, often, as things change, some people become fearful and there's a backlash. Mm-hmm. Will there be a backlash that comes out of this Democratic nomination, presumptive?
100%. I happened to be working in a polling place yesterday for our elections here, and I was cut off from cell phone and internet contact. But all of a sudden, people got very angry. It was a predominantly white precinct, and the tone changed late afternoon, our time here in LA, and I heard a number of comments about Barack Obama, about switching party to Republican from Democrat, I'll never be Democrat again, to the degree that I had to check a couple people, because there's no electioneering, of course, while people are trying to vote. But I felt it. I felt it up close and personal. So yes, the backlash is arriving.
How do you think it's going to play out, Desmond?
Oh, I know in my fantasy, I would like to see more African-Americans go towards the right or even towards the center. And the reason why I say that is because, listen, there's a book out called Wrong on Race, The Democratic Party's Buried Past by Bruce Bartlett. And he talks about this whole antebellum history of the Democratic Party and their adherence to apartheid in this country and to Jim Crow laws. So, I mean, the bottom line is the Republicans did not hold a candle to the Democrats as far as their history when it comes down to racism. So now we're starting to see some of these things. And I think that it's time for black folk to become more, more intelligent about their vote.
Well, I can agree with you on the more intelligent and even more independent about that vote, though our prescription for where that leads might go somewhere different. I agree with Carmen. It's going to get ugly. We've seen hints of it. I think the Clintons did us a favor, but with some of their tactics, by kind of warming us up and preparing us for what the people, what certain citizens will respond with, and how, most importantly to me, how the media is so unprepared, dangerously so, to moderate this conversation at any point, much less during a political campaign.
I did want to say one thing, that in some ways, Clinton did allow Obama to get some battle scars. Perhaps he needed that. And also, to quote Father Flager's friend, the chickens have come home to roost. So, again, I mean, you know, this is, we've seen this before. So, I mean, I'm not shocked.
All right. Well, I want to move on to one last topic. It's sad in one way, but inspirational in another. And I'm talking about the passing of rock pioneer Bo Diddley. He left behind a legacy in rock and roll that has touched, you know, hundreds, if not thousands. Well, probably, I'm sure thousands, if not millions of people. And so we actually spoke with Rob Fields, a pop culture expert and blogger, and here's part of what he said on how Bo Diddley affected black musicians.
One of the things that Bo Diddley represented was this artist who was very clear from the beginning that he wanted to do his own thing and have his own sound. He was clear that he did not want to sound like anyone else. That's what black rock artists, in the larger sense of the term, have always been about, sort of exploring their own personal taste, but filtering it certainly through, you know, a black cultural sensitivity.
Desmond, what did he mean to you? I mean, do you see him as one of the people who really blazed a trail in rock and roll?
Definitely. Bo Diddley, even the recent passing of Ike Turner. I mean, aside from Ike Turner's dysfunctional other things going on in his life, he was still a phenomenal artist. Even he was, I guess, noted for the first rock and roll record, Rocket 88. It bothers me as to how the music scene right now is and how we just do not have enough musicianship in the African-American community that's being highlighted. So I'd like to see, matter of fact, for Afro Nerd Radio, which is the blog, the podcast version of AfroNerd.com, I'm going to be interviewing Danilia Cotton, who does a really excellent version of AC/DC's Back in Black, which I guess is kind of a double entendre in some ways, but she's an excellent artist. I would like to see her promoted more, and I think we need to see more Obama, again, going back to this to what he represents, we need to see more different aspects of black life and not just seeing everything all about hip-hop and, again, getting back into some true musicianship. So hopefully we will see that his legacy will continue.
You know, Carmen, I know that you used to DJ and may once again, but there's a whole black rock movement. And in the 80s, the Black Rock Coalition was formed. And there have been so many musicians that have been format breakers, like Vernon Reed, Grace Jones, who's one of my favorites, Prince, Fishbone, mm-hmm. you know, on and on and on. Do you see a diversity in African-American music right now?
Not as much as I'd like to see, but I know there's a country artist. I can't recall her name right now, but there's a
Recy Palmer.
That's
and
Recy
we interviewed
Palmer.
Her.
Yes, and I've heard her CD and I love it. So it's there, and I think Desmond makes a great point about promoting these artists, and I don't think there are ready channels to promote them. So maybe that's up to us bloggers to help create those channels and push them forward.
All right, we're going to have to end it there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Baratunde Thurston. He blogs at the Huffington Post and Jack and Jill Politics, plus pop culture critic Desmond Burton of the blog Afro Nerd. Both were at our New York studios, and media consultant Carmen Dixon. She writes the blog All About Race and also blogs at AOL Black Voices. She was here with me at our NPR West studios. And you can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation doesn't stop there. Our online series Speak Your Mind gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind. That's our show for today. Thanks for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, the world has been fascinated by this year's American presidential race, but what do black Europeans think of it? We'll talk to some about their perspective from abroad.